Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Monday and we are packed. Live in Los Angeles, the home of winners, by the way. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. What a great last two football games we saw across America. Packers, Niners. Officiating wasn't up to par, but the game was amazing. And the Rams, Buccaneers. Wow. That was heavyweight fights right there. That was big boy football on display. Joy Taylor joining me 1 hour from now. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. That's loaded. But that was just, you saw a little bit. How many stars, the final four teams that played, how many Hall of Famers and Pro Bowlers were on the field? 20?
It was a football feast.
It was.
One might call it romantic.
Yes. Mystery in the offseason, romantic during the season. Even if Green Bay had lost last night, because Garoppolo led the Niners down, and you're like, what's going on here? Green Bay's the better team tonight. Even if the Packers would have lost, that was the most impressive display by the Packers I think I've seen in multiple years. For the first time that I can remember, they went toe-to-toe, and they had to do it on the road with a super talented, well-coached, physical team. And they weren't pretty, and they didn't finesse it. They were right in the octagon with the 49ers, and the Packers were the more physical team. The Packers' defensive front, and the Niners have a Hall of Famer at left tackle. That's a good offensive line. Packers' defensive front sacked Garoppolo 4 times, hit him 10 times. He's never been hit 10 times in a game. The Packer defensive front, their front 7, missing, by the way, a player or two, push the Niners' offensive front around the field. The Packers' offensive line, missing arguably the best left tackle in football, David Bakhtiari. They were on their 3rd-string left tackle. Opened up running lanes for Aaron Jones. Gave Aaron Rodgers time to throw. That was impressive. That was a dogfight. I said this last week. I've seen so many Green Bay wins. You know, Aaron Rodgers, comfortable, time to throw, dices, slices. That's a dogfight. Green Bay was the better team last night. They were the better team from the first drive. Matt LaFleur out-schemed Kyle Shanahan. The Packers out-physicaled one of the most physical teams in football. And this is important now because to get to the Super Bowl, and that's Green Bay standard now. Let's get to the Super Bowl. We're not talking about wild card stuff. This is different. This is the Yankees in baseball, or the Dodgers in baseball. This is, you know, this is your big boy college football powers like your Ohio State, Notre Dame. The Outback Bowl's not good enough. We're talking Super Bowls. So what does Green Bay have? The best teams in this league, and let's just talk Tampa Bay. Green Bay has 3 components that are very, very important, crucial to beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Number one, Jaire Alexander, they have an elite corner. So they can just go say, you guard Mike Evans. Like, try to take Mike out of the game. That's very important. Rams also have that in Jalen Ramsey. The Packers also have, we saw it last night, Kenny Clark and their interior pass rush. They can make an old quarterback uncomfortable right at his feet. Get Tom uncomfortable. Not beating Tampa if Tom's comfortable for 3.5 hours. And the number 3 thing is, they have the ability, Green Bay, to go over the top with Devontae Adams and score very, very quickly. You're not going to run the football on Tampa. You're not running the football on Tampa. So you got to figure out a way to get cheap points. So between the great corner, the interior rush, over-the-top scoring, and you saw it all on display last night against a very physical football team, I just can't tell you how impressed I was with Green Bay. And, you know, listen, you can lose games, believe it or not, and I can go, wow. And when Jimmy Garoppolo came down the field and scored, I thought, this doesn't make any sense. Green Bay is a better football team tonight. The better football team, 90% of the time, wins in the NFL. Green Bay was the better football team, the more physical team. They had a better scheme. They had the better quarterback. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sure you noticed this. This was the good Aaron. This wasn't the passive-aggressive. Did you notice how he barked at his center last night? No passive-aggressive nonsense. Aaron was totally vested, emotionally all in. He was going up, screaming at his center after that bad snap that almost screwed up and ended up a fumble. He went right after him, got right in his face. By the way, I like tough coaching, and I like tough quarterbacks. I don't care if a coach yells at a player. I want my quarterback to occasionally yell at players. Peyton Manning yelled at players. Peyton Manning yelling at Jeff Saturday as Pro Bowl center. Brady's barking at coaches. I want my quarterback to be vested. I don't need him to be invincible. I don't need him to be perfect. But I got to have you emotionally in. Don't pull a Jay Cutler. I want you all in. Off season, in season, Aaron was totally invested last night emotionally. I love that he's barking at his center and screaming at him. He's saying, hey, we're out playing him. Don't you screw it up. I loved it. Here's Aaron after.
Matt actually suggested that play on the sideline. That first play, which was something we actually worked on Friday at practice, kind of scribbling in the dirt, and it worked out perfect. Just put it right over Fred's head. Got us kind of down there a little bit. We needed one more play. How can you not be romantic about football, man? Week one was an anomaly. I said that, and I believe that. We bounced back in week two, played a great football team tonight, right down to the wire. And this plane ride is going to feel incredible.
It's already landed. Good day for Green Bay. Totally earned it. So I want to talk about the Rams and the Buccaneers. Not going to get into specifics, but I was invited to a party Saturday night, and I got to spend some time with Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams. And it's a big deal. That stadium cost $6.5 billion. It was supposed to cost like $3 billion. And Los Angeles is very competitive. LeBron's in town. The Dodgers draw $4.5 million. We got a beach. We got mountains. People here are not interested in average. And Sean McVay bumped into Matt Stafford in Mexico. And Sean McVay's like, we can't have to coach perfectly to win games. This is L.A. And Matt Stafford said, I want to be a Ram. And McVay said, I want you to be a Ram. And Kroenke told me the story of he was on a tarmac and Sean McVay's on the phone and he's pleading with him. This is the guy. This is Los Angeles. This is the guy. And so Stan Kroenke knew, because a lot of people were after Matt Stafford. Remember, there were like 7-8 teams were after Matt Stafford. You had to make a decision quickly. And Kroenke's like a global real estate guy. He was on the tarmac. The plane was taking off. And he knew that once the plane took off, it was going to take another 10 minutes to get in the air so you could talk again, right? You have to get over 10,000. So Kroenke's sitting there. The plane is taxiing. McVay and Les Snead on the phone. Can we go after Matt Stafford? Can we make this massive move and draft picks and reboot? And Kroenke's like, go for it. And they got Matt Stafford, and you saw it with the Bears, and you saw it last night. Jared Goff now, and I like the kid. He's 0 for 10 when he doesn't have Sean McVay as a coach. And he got to a Super Bowl. He is capable. But last night is why they got Stafford. Home runs. They had a bunch of single and double hitters. McVay could get you doubles all day long. Stafford's a home run hitter. You don't have to design 11 play drives. And McVay was tired of having to coach a perfect drive to score. And there's a lot at stake here. McVay's legacy, Stafford's reputation, the L.A. market being relevant. This is a $6.5 billion stadium. This is, you could feel the pressure and how big that game was last night. That's the biggest game, football game, played in Los Angeles since Pete Carroll was here and the Trojans faced Texas. And the coaches know it and the players know it and the pressure is palpable. This is a big deal for a lot of reasons. And I got to tell you something. That is the best football game any team has played all year. Tampa had no shot to win that game. For a game to mean that much, listen to these stats. You're playing a great team. Third down, the Rams were 10 of 15. That's like Alabama against Towson State. Pass attempts, Stafford, 8.5 yards a pass. No turnovers, 27 of 38. Penalties, the Rams had one all night. Red zone, 2 for 2. That is as good a football team can play in a big spot. Tampa had no chance. Tampa wasn't terrible, but I didn't think the Bears matched the urgency. I didn't think last night the Buccaneers matched the passion or urgency. And you can see how much Stafford means to McVay. And by the way, how much McVay means to Stafford. I never thought of Matt Stafford as an overly emotional guy. McVay, when he came into this league, he's on that sidelines. He's very stoic. Sean McVay can't control himself. He's just running all over the field. He loves this guy so much because he knows how much is invested in Matt Stafford. The stadium's almost $7 billion. You're rolling the dice. You're giving up multiple picks. You're not going to have Aaron Donald around long. Jalen Ramsey, this thing has to work. It's got to work fast. L.A.'s impatient. The market's distracted and crowded. And to play that well in that big of a stage, the Fox late game, against that good of a team, I'm not sure I've seen a football team as smartly buttoned up as the Rams were last night. Here's McVay after.
I think my hamstrings are already sore. I probably pulled them both. But I think just pure excitement. I'm not really thinking about those things in the moment, just enjoying it with these guys. The fans were awesome today, too. I mean, what an electric atmosphere in this stadium. Think about it. I was just kind of being in the moment and having fun and enjoying watching these guys do their thing. And there was a lot of reasons to be excited for our team today.
Yeah, that felt – I had several friends go. That felt massive. That was as big as football has been in Los Angeles professionally. That was as big a game as this city has had. That felt like a game 7 of a World Series, game 7 of an NBA final. Everybody was invested. Just a fantastic crowd moment. And I don't think Tampa had a chance. Sometimes you just walk into a snake pit. It's like, it's not going to be our night. It's nothing against Tommy, nothing against Arians. I don't think anybody in the league walks into that stadium. Even the Raiders, who are 3-0, nobody walked into that stadium last night and was beating the Rams for 3.5 hours.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I wanted to talk for a second. So Jimmy Garoppolo had a great drive at the end of the game. And I've always said, everybody can quarterback with a lead. Everybody can quarterback when it's comfortable. Jimmy Garoppolo, in the teeth of a big boy pass rush, everybody in the ballpark knew he had to throw, and he led San Francisco down the field several big boy throws, and he won the game for him. It's the Niners' bad corners that lost the game for him. So, but let me remind you, what is the record of all the rookie quarterback teams so far? The Jags have a rookie quarterback, they're 0-3. The Jets have a rookie quarterback, they're 0-3. New England, with the best football coach in the world, has a rookie quarterback, they're 1-2. They'll be 1-3 next week because they play Brady and the Bucks, and the Bears are 1-2. The only team with a first-round rookie quarterback that's winning is San Francisco, who is now 2-1 and 30 seconds from being 3-0. Why? Because they're not playing him much. Playing quarterback is hard. It is incredibly hard. And Garoppolo, I'll tell you how hard quarterback is. Patrick Mahomes is the best, right? He's played 8 quarters of Super Bowl football. He's been bad in 7 of them. And Garoppolo outplayed him for 3 of 4. I'm not saying Garoppolo's top 10. Doesn't have a big arm. I don't love his judgment at all. You can tell the coaches, sometimes the way they call the game, they don't trust him. But that last drive was big boy football. Trailing, pass rush, excellent coverage. Packers, that Stokes, that young kid they drafted first round out of Georgia, that guy can play. Now, he may be raw, but that guy is glue. He is sticky. He's adhesive tape. He's all over the receivers. He's giving you no space. And we all know Jair Alexander could be the first or second best corner in the league. So that is what it looks like. These rookie quarterbacks, Justin Fields can't get first downs. Mac Jones is scared to death. I mean, Justin Herbert is so much better than all of these rookie quarterbacks. And he went 6-9 last year. He broke every record and went 6-9. So this isn't about me being right on young quarterbacks. What it's saying is Jimmy Garoppolo, this is the hardest thing to do in sports. Bill Belichick is the best football coach ever. Has a top 10 defense, an excellent top 10 offensive line, a veteran offensive coordinator. He can no longer win home games against average teams. Couldn't do it last year with Cam, can't do it this year. Quarterback matters, and if you think you can just throw a kid in there, it is hard. And what Jimmy Garoppolo did last night, you guys can all bang on Jimmy Garoppolo. That was big boy quarterback. Trailing, pass rush, tight coverage, bang, 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 four or five major completions. And there was not a lot of breathing room on that stuff. I mean, those were tight coverages. So all I'm saying is, when we talk about young quarterbacks, A, you got to be patient with these guys. But you all want to blame the coach with a rookie quarterback. Urban Meyer's now suddenly an idiot. Matt Nagy, who got Mitch Trubisky to the playoffs twice. Now he's a bum. Well, Belichick can't even win home games against average teams. So before you bang on Jimmy Garoppolo and you bang on the coaches with rookie quarterbacks, Garoppolo showed you. Can your guy do that? Packers all over you. Coverage blanket tight. Bang, bang, bang. Four straight throws. And everybody in the stadium knew there's no running here. There's no running game. That is pin your ears back and come at me. Muddy pocket, little box, no time. Make big throws. So spare me on all these coaches now with rookie quarterbacks don't know what they're doing. Is Robert Saleh, really, he just doesn't know what he's doing. His team couldn't even get a field goal yesterday. Why? Good luck walking out of college and walking into this sport and trying to win football games. You can make plays. You guys are all lecturing me. Zach Wilson had a couple of nice plays in the first week. Oh, he's better than Sam Darnold. I don't know if you've checked. Asking for a friend. Darnold's 3-0. Zach Wilson couldn't get a field goal yesterday. So you appreciate what Garoppolo did. And I'm not saying he's great, but that was a big boy NFL quarterback drive. No space, four completions, big throws, clock running down. You have to manage all of it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So what I do in the first month of the year, first 4 or 5 weeks, I'll go to the NFL standings on Monday when I get in and kind of see, who did I whiff on? Like, who did I really whiff on? And I think the one team so far is the Raiders. I had them as a 7-win team, last place. I didn't like their defense. They couldn't generate a pass rush. And I felt like Derek Carr was the life preserver. I didn't know if Gruden was working, Mayock was working. And all I knew is the tight end Waller was great and Derek Carr was exceptional. And I know y'all hate Derek Carr, whatever it is. But here's something interesting. He completed the ball to 9 different targets. Now, as much as I was impressed with Green Bay, let's be honest about the Packers. It's all Davante Adams. Every big throw is to Davante Adams. Every single one. The Raiders, Derek Carr, this game was wildly entertaining. I whiffed on the Raiders. 9 different targets, 500 yards against Miami's defense. They want a shootout with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. And there are certain things that really matter in this league when you look at quarterbacks. And this is why I defended for years Tony Romo. Tony Romo's quarterback rating in the fourth, when you often have to throw trailing, is the fourth highest of all time. Tony Romo could play. Derek Carr, his fourth quarter passer rating this year is 127, virtually perfect. And that's different. Anybody can be good in the first quarter. The plays are schemed. Often you set the first 8 to 12 plays. It's your best plays. You want to get a lead because 70% of the teams that lead in the first half win the game, right? So coaches want to take leads into halftime. Everybody looks great with a great coach in the first half. First 12 plays, Jared Goff against Aaron Rodgers looked great in the first. Jameis Winston. What do you do in the fourth? Derek Carr. Now, Aaron Rodgers, and he deserves it, is going to get love for a week off those two completions. And he deserves it. Derek Carr has done that 3 weeks in a row. They got 500 yards against Miami's defense. He beat Lamar Jackson in a shootout. And, you know, say what you want about Pittsburgh. That defense, pretty good. Derek Carr, before it got all injured up, ate it apart. So, you know, there's and he's doing it until yesterday with no running game. The offensive line for the Raiders, it's hit and miss. It's not terrible. It's not great. It's a little hit and miss. It was better yesterday. And he's doing most of this big throwing late in games where he's got to throw it and everybody knows he's throwing it. So I just watched. You know, you can do a lot wrong in this league. It's really funny. You really can. I mean, Pete Carroll has missed on a lot of first-round picks. Bill Belichick has missed on a lot of draft picks. I don't love the Raiders drafting. Outside of Josh Jacobs, a running back, I don't like their first-round picks. But you know where they've hit? Is Gruden has gotten the very best out of Derek Carr. And John Gruden deserves credit. Derek always had talent. John, did you see him on the sidelines yesterday? He is every comment. Because Gruden's reputation was he doesn't like any of his quarterbacks, not named Rich Gannon. And he has given Derek Carr a lot of positive vibes. He's got his back. He's really communicating with him. And they've hit on receiving targets. That's what the Raiders have done. They've got a lot of guys who can run and catch. And this league is changing. I mean, Belichick's the best defensive coach in the history of the game and the best coach. He can't score. Can't win. Can't score. Doesn't matter. That's the league. And the Raiders, they can move the ball. A lot of targets, move the ball, 500 yards every week. I swear to God, Vegas, you need luck to win in Vegas. Not even talking about sports. But how lucky that the Raiders are a mess forever and they finally land in Vegas and the first year you can get people into the stadium, they're one of the best watches in the league. The hockey team arrives first year. And they're great. I mean, Vegas forever, we thought they should have pro sports, right? And there was this stigma, you can't gamble even though we knew everybody gambles. And they get the hockey team, the Golden Knights, home run, well run, exciting. And they get the Raiders. And the first year they can put fans in the stands, this is one of the best watches in the league. They're a little rebellious. They're a little counterculture. They're a little different. Here's Gruden after the game.
I don't apologize for winning these games, no matter how we won them. But when you're down 14-0 and score 25 unanswered in the NFL against a team like that, something's going right.
Yeah, the offense is. You know, you get the quarterback right. You elevate him. You know, usually coaches get in and they want to flush out their people. Right? Like, I want to get my GM and my quarterback and my this and my that. Gruden, he deserves credit for this. He looked at Derek Carr, and he said this 2-3 years ago. He's like, you can win a lot of games in this league with Derek Carr. And he has gotten the very best out of Carr, who's always been a guy whose confidence is sort of fleeting. Like, the knock on Carr from the NFL people I know is always, he's been a little Kirk Cousins. Like, does he believe in himself? In big games, Kirk Cousins shrinks. And Derek Carr's always felt he's got the talent. Now, I think he's more talented by far than Kirk Cousins, but there's always this thing, let it rip. No, let it rip, Derek. You got a pretty good arm. Does he have confidence in himself? And I think that's where Gruden really deserves credit. He's made Derek know, I'm your guy. I've got your back. I'm going to get you weapons. And they're 3-0.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. Where Colin was right.
Well, I said, Joy and I both said this with Justin Herbert before he came to the NFL. What doesn't everybody like? 6'5", runs, huge arm, 4'2", biology major. We said it's like arm, size, IQ. It looks like Andrew Luck. Like, we didn't get all the doubters on this. He dominates the Senior Bowl. He dominates his first year. He dominates the Rose Bowl. No turnovers in a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. And I'm not saying he's better than Patrick, but I don't see the gap. The only gap I see is experience. Like, Patrick Mahomes is better because he's had more snaps. But, I mean, Anthony Lynn and Staley, a couple of young coaches, and this kid is, I mean, and you can tell the way he throws. He's got confidence in his arm, in his intellect, and the coaching staff has confidence. They let him throw that ball. That's Andrew Luck. They let him throw that ball down the field. There's no dumping off, dink and dunk stuff here.
Where Colin was wrong.
I was wrong on the Raiders. I said it last hour. 9 receivers caught balls. And by the way, they're winning close games. You got to give them credit for this. It is hard not only to win in the NFL, they have won 3 straight close games. Hey, that's hard for Belichick. That's hard for Andy Reid. Andy Reid lost a close game yesterday. So Gruden has got the offense rolling. They got special teams help. They got defensive help. They went down 14-0 and then scored 25 straight. It was a wildly entertaining game.
Where Colin was right?
I know, Lamar Jackson can't throw. Did you see that throw late in the game that set up the game-winning field goal? I'm going to let you watch it here on television. 4th and 19. You tell me this guy can't throw. He had two drops by Hollywood Brown yesterday, by the way. One was a sure touchdown, or it would have been better. The game wouldn't have been this close. But he's a lot better passer than you think. He's 32-8 as an NFL starter. And I'm telling you right now, not a lot of guys in the league are making that throw. Looks a lot like one of those Aaron Rodgers throws. Lamar Jackson is a playmaker, and when he has to make big throws at 32-8, he often can make that. Hollywood Brown crushed him yesterday with two huge drops.
Where Colin was wrong.
I like Joe Judge, I think, but it's 0-3. It's bad. Their red zone offense is anemic. Way too many penalties. With Saquon Barkley, they can't run the football. I mean, I could blame the GM. This is an organization that's won. The defense is not as good as I thought. Listen, there it was Eli Manning Day, and they're booing Joe Judge and the owner. I knew the offensive line was bad, and I didn't think the Giants would be good, but it feels like they've lost the momentum they had at the end of last year, and some of that falls on coaching.
Where Colin was right.
Been selling my Big Ben stock for 2-3 years now. He's an old man. You don't need film. You need eyes. He's a shot fighter. A story came out this weekend that internally the Steelers organization is very concerned that it's done this early. Well, why'd you re-sign him? Did you watch the end of last year? He wasn't in the same class as Baker Mayfield in those last two games. He is done. I mean, some of this footage is just hard to wrap your brain around. It's brutal. And that's why I said, sometimes upsets happen in this league, and you just got to forget they beat Buffalo. Because Buffalo would crush them today, and they don't have a plan. They have coddled Ben for so long, they have no succession plan. Dwayne Haskins is a finger cross. That's a succession plan is Trey Lance. Okay, this is not a succession plan in Pittsburgh.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, Sam Darnold's 3-0. Zach Wilson's 0-3. Just saying. 68% completion percentage, 99 passer rating. He has cut down on mistakes, and it really illustrates how poorly run the Jets are. I said I understood the Jets moving off Darnold so they could reboot the contract and have a free quarterback. But I told you, I said, Zach Wilson's going to finish in fourth. Robert Saleh's the fourth best coach. And Darnold just needs support. We don't know if Matt Rhule is a great coach. And the Panthers' offensive line is bad. He just needed competency. At this point, that's what we know he has. We know Joe Brady and Matt Rhule are competent. And Darnold, 3-0.
Where Colin was wrong.
I'm a big Carson Wentz guy. At least I was. But his completion percentage, folks, he's 58%. And it's not like there's not weapons. He made some really poor throws yesterday. He's always been a little too reckless, but so is Darnold. But it's not like he's throwing a lot of picks, but he's just missing too many open throws. I was not a fan of what I thought was a dumb COVID stance. Get the shot. Get the vaccine. You're a quarterback. You can't go in every week crossing your fingers on COVID protocol. Get it done. Be a grown-up. He's been a big disappointment, a major disappointment. Now, some of the Colts' O-line is banged up, but Carson Wentz to this point is not worth the money.
Where Colin was right?
Well, we said all off-season, we really thought the Denver Broncos had a top 10 roster. We love their talent. We didn't think Drew Locke was the answer. Well, their defense is now number one rated in the NFL. They're 3-0. Teddy Bridgewater's completing 77% of his throws. He has no interceptions. And by the way, Denver's doing this despite some really bad injuries. Pass rusher Bradley Chubb has been hurt. Yesterday, K.J. Hamler got hurt. Jerry Jeudy. So they're not healthy. So this is a football team. They stuck with Vic Fangio. They went out. They drafted a corner who's great, Patrick Surtain, and then they went and stole one from Chicago, Kyle Fuller. So this is a real good defense now. Elite corners, elite pass rush, and we told you, if they can get the quarterback right, this is an excellent roster. They've got, in every unit, they have got a star. Tight end, wide receiver, O-line, corner, pass rush, Multiple units, they have a star. They just had to stop beating themselves.
Where Colin was right.
I've been an advocate for a long time with Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly. And for years, Notre Dame was overrated. I totally agree. They're now underrated. Just take out Alabama. Take out one program in the country. Who can't they play with? They can play with Ohio State. They can play with Clemson. They can play with Georgia. They can play with LSU. They beat LSU today badly. But not only did they beat Wisconsin 41-13, but I like what I saw. It's a young football team, so they're not a great football team. They're going to be very good next year. This is a tweener year, and they're struggling to put teams away, but they scored a special teams touchdown. They scored defensive touchdowns. They scored running touchdowns. That is a well-coached team. They are scoring in every facet, and I'll give them a pass this year. They may not beat Cincinnati this week because they're very young. But this is a well-coached football team. You take out Bama, they can play with everybody. And it's a private school, and it's got lousy weather, and there's not much to do socially, and it's hard to get in, and they can't recruit everybody like a lot of these schools can. There's a religious umbrella over the school. This is not an easy place in 2021 to be as good as they are. And I think Brian Kelly has never, ever gotten the respect. He may not be likable. You know, he stumbled. There was a tragedy on campus early. We all know that. But that was an impressive coaching win. When you're scoring, throwing it, running it, special teams, defense, that was a complete coaching masterpiece with a young team that is, I mean, they're struggling with like your Toledos. They're not right now a great team. But they housed Wisconsin in the second half.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's wrong with Seattle? So they lost again to what we perceive to be as kind of an average team. Well, listen, Pete Carroll's defense is now last in the NFL. It's 26th on third down. It's 21 in points per game. Despite having the best middle linebacker in the game, the secondary is kind of a mess. They're kind of a mess at corner. I think Pete Carroll has too much say in personnel. This has been my opinion. What do they do well that's not directly connected to Russell Wilson? And the answer is not much. And what has happened the last 3 weeks, the exact same things happened. The offense never has the ball. So yesterday, the Vikings ran 21 more plays than the Seahawks did. Russell Wilson becomes a spectator. Last week against Tennessee, Tennessee had the ball almost 43 minutes. Seattle never had the ball. Russell Wilson becomes a spectator. Even in their win over the Colts, what happened? The Colts had the ball with a banged-up offensive line, 36 minutes. Seattle had the ball 24 minutes. So Seattle comes out with their new offensive coordinator, and they're very good offensively early, but then they dry up. And it's not Russell Wilson. It's not the wide receivers. This is what I've said for the last 3 years. I'm a Pacific Northwest guy, but I've said, take out Russell. What do they do well? This is why a lot of people in Russell Wilson's camp are very, very frustrated, and they had to go out publicly last year. They missed on a lot of number one picks or a lot of first-round picks. They're bad at corner. They overpaid for a safety, who I like, but two first-rounders for Jamal Adams? What safety is worth two first-rounders? Carolina today got a great corner, C.J. Henderson for a third-round pick, and corners are more valuable than safeties. So, but it's the same thing over and over. Russell Wilson, the way to beat a good quarterback is make him watch the game. That's what Cleveland did to Mahomes in week one. First half, Mahomes was never on the field. And so I go back to this. Bill Belichick's the best football coach of my life. But even he admitted this offseason, he had to listen to his scouts more in drafting. You cannot be a GM and a coach at the same time. Since Paul Allen has died, Pete Carroll has too much power in the organization. Their drafts have been weird for several years, weird again this year. You've got to empower people beyond Pete. Russell Wilson's frustrated. He is watching these games. That is what he's doing. He's just watching the games. He's never on the field in the second half.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Brandon Staley is a first-year coach of the Chargers. His story is absolutely remarkable. So this morning I went and looked at his resume. First thing you'll notice, he's very young. But 5 years ago, he's coaching at John Carroll. 6 years ago, he's coaching at James Madison. He has had, even more than Sean McVay, a meteoric rise through this sport. And last year, Under his guidance, the Rams were the number one team in total defense. Well, immediately the Chargers now are third in takeaways in the NFL, and they created four yesterday. I love to see young people given opportunities and flourish. God, do I sound old right now or what? Brandon Staley, coach of the Chargers, is now joining us live. Well, first of all, you've been in three games this year. They've all been close. I was texting your GM yesterday. I'm like, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Could you play a game where it's decided by the middle of the third? But it is interesting, Brandon. These close games over the course of a season, they build something. There's a certain inertia, and I want you to talk about that because you got a young quarterback and a rookie left tackle and a brand new center. And what these close games, win or lose, are doing for your football team.
Well, I think, Colin, you start with the respect we have for all three of our first opponents. I think Washington, coming off being a playoff team, certainly they were the number two total defense the previous year. You go on the road in your first game and to play like we did against them, you know, we kind of had a historic day on third down and, you know, kind of a 4-minute, you know, drill to kind of finish the game with the ball. And I felt like that was a really big confidence builder for our team. And then, you know, you go to the second week against Dallas, you know, a premium offense, one of the top two or three, in my opinion, in the league. You know, a $40 million quarterback, $100 million receiver, $90 million running back, two of the top linemen of the last decade. And that's a really quality team. And on defense, Dan Quinn's doing a really good job coaching over there. And so, you know, when you play these type of teams that it's going to come down to the end. And then yesterday, you're talking about one of the premium coaches in the NFL, a premium franchise over the last 8 years since he's been here. And I think what it builds is, hey, you know what it's going to take when you play against quality teams. It's going to come down to the end. That's how the NFL is built. And so you have to be your best at the end. And for us, it really starts, you know, with our quarterback who gives us a chance in every game, and then really coming together as a team in all three phases and knowing, hey, guys, we're going to have to be our best at the end of the game. All these end of half end of game situations, low red. And I think that's what's expressed itself through 3 weeks. And I'm impressed with our guys, not surprised, proud of them. And we still got a lot of work to do. So,
well, yeah,
it's been exciting.
Corey Linsley has been superb so far at center. Rashawn Slater, left tackle, has been great. And then, you know, you got some depth on the offensive line. You went for it on a 4th and 4 yesterday, and on the road, loud place, young quarterback. When you made that decision, did you and Justin Herbert, had you talked about it practice this week? Hey, if we get a 4th and 3, was it about field position? Like, how you have to make that decision, Brandon, in literally 10, 12 seconds. Take me through that decision to go for it.
Well, I think, number one, there was a really fierce crosswind in that game, really fierce. And I think that played a component in it. But I think the number one storyline is I really trust Justin Herbert. And I felt like our matchups were good outside. And I wanted Justin to be the decider in the game. Okay, that's what was really important to me. And I feel like what you can't do against that team that we just played is be a field goal operation. And you can't play like that versus that team. And I felt like Justin having the ball in his hands would give us the best chance to win the game, not just compete in the game. And I felt like, you know, obviously it didn't unfold exactly how we wanted because we had the procedure penalty,
right,
which pushed it to 4th and 9. But I still felt like at 4th and 9, like in my mind, we were still going. And I felt like, you know, Justin operated exactly how I knew he would. And I felt like he was the best player on the field. And during the week, we really talked about how we were going to play this game. And I felt like we played that game like that throughout the first, you know, four quarters, Colin, just before we even got to that point. And I felt like putting the ball in his hands was the best idea at that point in time.
Yeah, and it's a lot to ask. Last week, Justin had a bad pick, red zone pick. It happens. These guys are young. We're watching rookie quarterbacks struggle. As a defensive guy, your eyes have been on defense your entire life. Now you're the head coach, so you have to be at 30,000 feet and watch the whole operation. Was there a moment early for you with Justin Herbert? Could have been in camp, could have been the first time you met him, that you just felt like, boy, he's different. Like, he gets it. Like, what was your epiphany moment with Justin Herbert, knowing, like, this is not your typical 24-year-old quarterback?
Well, I think what I tried to do when I got hired, Colin, is I met with almost everybody on the team. And unprompted, I could not get over the amount of respect that his teammates had for him. I'm talking rookie, veteran, offense, defense, specialist. I couldn't get over, unprompted, the amount of respect his teammates had for him. And as you know, in the pre-draft process, that was like a topic of conversation about, you know, his leadership style.
Right, right. Team.
And I just couldn't get over the love and the respect that they had for this guy and his work ethic and his intangibles. And I felt like I had a good sense of how talented he was. Certainly not the strongest sense, because once you are with him on the practice field, you have a much deeper respect for his physical gifts. But I think when people talk about Justin, and what's truly amazing about him is the first thing that they talk about are not his physical gifts. They talk about his intangibles, his toughness, his smarts, that he's one of the guys. And I felt like when you meet him, he does have that presence, you know, that you're looking for from a franchise quarterback. I think that presence can be defined a little bit differently player to player, but he definitely has that type of presence. And I just know how much I love competing with the guy.
So the Raiders are 3-0. And I tell you what, they had 9 different receivers catch it. I'm sure you've already looked at film. I mean, you probably didn't sleep last night. But when you flew back from Kansas City, I know you're watching film. And so I'm interested, your first look at film on the Raiders, because I have to be honest, they're now generating a pass rush. They didn't for 2 years. I think Derek Carr is wildly underrated. I've been saying this for years. I think he's really special. Your first view of Raiders film, what did you see?
Well, I think that you're spot on about Derek Carr, number one. I think he's one of the elite passers in the league, and I think he always has been. This guy he's got a really quick release. He can throw off platform. He's got a lot stronger arm than people realize. He's really, really sharp, really smart, really sharp. And I think that you're just seeing him truly get a feel for what John wants to do on offense, and they've surrounded him with a lot of players. Okay, this guy's got a lot of weapons in all levels of the backfield, runners, tight ends, wideouts, and then they've reshaped their whole line. And I think that you're seeing that identity express itself with him leading the charge. And I think that he's playing at a premium level for the quarterback position. So I think you start there. And then I think what they, you know, when you have weapons in all three levels of the backfield, I think that it makes you really dangerous. You know, Darren Waller is one of the unique players in the league, really unique. And then, you know, Foster Moreau is a really complete tight end. All right. And so they can play the game in two tight ends. Okay. Which actually gives them a big advantage, because they can play 22. They can play 12. They can spread you out within two tight ends, which makes them very difficult to defend. And then they've added a lot of different types of wideouts. Okay. Guys with gas, guys, you know, they can play in the slot and get open. And then they've got a bunch of runners that I really respect. Jacobs, Drake, okay, Peyton Barber. Like, these guys are really good runners. So I feel like you've got a really complete offense, and that's why you're seeing them score, and that's why you're seeing them gain a bunch of yards.
By the way, those flight home, I don't know if you guys took flights when you were coaching John Carroll and James Madison. I'm sure you probably did. But when you fly home having beaten the Chiefs, be honest, that was a great 3-hour flight yesterday.
It was. I think that anytime you can go on the road in the National Football League or any other level and win, that you have to respect that and you have to cherish it. And I think what's awesome on the plane is when you can go up to the front and to be with your guys and kind of unpack the game, talk to Justin Herbert and Chase, you know, up there in the front, talk to some of your defensive guys, DJ, and what just happened actually, and, you know, joke about some things that didn't go well, and have that moment to kind of decompress, be with your coaching staff, and just really enjoy each other, because number one, you have to respect how hard it is to win, especially on the road, especially against a team like that. And so I think we're at the beginning here with the Chargers, but it was definitely a really nice ride home.
All right, the Bolts 2-1 got the Raiders. It's going to be wild. There's going to be I love your defense, but there's going to be some points scored. Brandon, you're not going to shut them out, so they're not shutting you out either. That's going to be a crazy one.
Yeah, it was like that yesterday. You know, when you play against offenses this premium, you know, and quarterbacks this good, it's going to be a last possession type of game. And we got to play as a team, that's for sure, because that's what happened yesterday, Colin. We played as a team, and that's why we were able to finish it.
Congrats to you and the Bolts. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, Colin. Have a great day.